This week, the stories of the global supply chain crisis continue. If it wasn't hard enough, now Britain is running out of petrol. It's been a truly turbulent 6 months for e-commerce and global supply chains everywhere. COVID-19 continues to have a lasting impact on production, and the impact of the disaster at the Suez Canal on transportation is still being felt. All of this has an impact on buyers buying. Businesses and merchants are showing a reluctance to stock seasonal goods amidst growing rumors of more lockdowns and not returning to work. After all, there's less requirement on the latest fashion if there's never going to be an opportunity for the buyer to wear it. Global supply chains are front page news, and the Prime Minister himself describes the challenges of driving forward in a new economy, which is of course more difficult to do when there's queues at the petrol station. The road is long, with many a winding turn. I'm Gareth Martin, and this is How to Be an E-Commerceer. Hello and welcome back to the E-Commerceer podcast brought to you by TradeBridge. I'm Gareth Martin. On a very special episode of the podcast, we're joined today by Stephanie Frakoviak.
Hello, I am Stephanie Frakoviak. I am the Managing Director for the TradeBridge France business.
Amidst all the news of the global supply chain crisis, the first question I had for Stephanie was how would this impact on the e-commerce's plans for Christmas?
Yeah, so I have an anecdotal example, which is Christmas related, would you believe it? I saw a friend of mine on Facebook posted a photograph of the supermarket shelves in Australia showing Christmas products, but British Christmas products. There's a lot of expats out there with mince pies and saying, I can't believe they've already got Christmas stuff on the shelves in September. To which reply was, they've already run out in a lot of supermarkets and there's not going to be any Christmas stuff for Christmas because there's no stock. And we're September, and there's already issues in terms of supply for Christmas stuff. And that's just an anecdotal example. If you look across the chain, anything which is seasonal or perishable, there is a supply issue. And the supply issue is not just because of risk, but it's been because of cost. A number of things got a lot more expensive, like shipping got a lot more expensive when the Suez Canal blocked up. So people went, well, I'll hold off ordering my stuff until the shipping costs come down. But now there's all of these small movements have a significant knock-on impact. And everyone's trying to optimize how they're spending their money and where they're going to get their stock.
The prospect of Christmas without mince pies. Harrowing for Britons everywhere. On a slightly more serious note, as we approach retail's busiest time of the year, I was keen to ask Stephanie for her take on the challenges posed by supply chain, as well as Black Friday and Cyber Monday, to the e-commerceer.
You know, if I lead on to the topic of Black Friday, if I was a business selling something which is going to be a hot product, or even just a normal product with shortages in play, you know, I might as well protect my margins. My shipping costs have gone up. I've had to put stock in earlier, and the consumers aren't going to be able to get the product elsewhere, really. So there's less of a driver for these big, massive sales. But Black Friday, there's another topic, and that is that Black Friday in of itself has been called into question from an e-commerce perspective and also from a physical store perspective. So a lot of what's going on in e-commerce sort of drives off how do we replicate what happens in physical stores and drive traffic through online stores and, you know, how do we achieve the same drivers and demand online? What they're finding when they analyze the data and they look at customers within e-commerce is that the customers that matter, customers that really drive revenue, are the repeat customers. And you say you've got bargain hunters who will go from sale to sale and will just go for wherever the cheapest product is. And then you've got the customers where you build up brand loyalty. When you look at things like Black Friday, what's coming across, it doesn't really drive brand loyalty. It drives brand recognition and marketplace recognition in terms of people say, oh, definitely go there. And they'll go on their site for the first time because it's a Black Friday sale and they got a good bargain. But then the big event and actually the big focus now is, well, how do you convert that into a recurring customer? There's a bit of a call into question about, does Black Friday really work? There's also culturally, I think there's a pushback on what Black Friday means in certain countries. I can certainly see, and we see it in the market, there are physical stores and e-commerce stores who last year said, we are not doing Black Friday this year. We feel it encourages wasteful practices. It's bad for our suppliers and stuff because we have to push prices right down. There's no real driver. It's a random date. Therefore, we're not going to do Black Friday because we think it's better for the planet, better for, you know, businesses. Maybe consumers won't get the bargain that they were hoping to. But if you just want a bargain, have a look on Amazon. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with these sort of Cyber Mondays, Black Fridays. I think it's still an event, but what they're trying to achieve, what e-commerces are trying to achieve with Black Fridays and Cyber Monday isn't necessarily just a short-term spike in sales. It's how are we going to use that event to drive customer loyalty, brand awareness, and all the rest of the marketing good stuff.
The question then of independent e-commerce is driving the best value they can based on what they have. Sound principles indeed. And yet amongst all the challenges posed by the last 6 months, especially to supply chain and fulfillment, I asked Stephanie if these challenges would drive the global marketplaces that have been so dominant even further into the ascendancy and signal even greater challenges for the independent e-commerceer.
My philosophy, again, is e-commerce is a channel to market. So for the same reason we have supermarkets and small independents, online there'll be big mega stores and small independents. When you go to a small independent, what you're looking for, either something specialist, something which has a nuance, you know, maybe locally sourced or ethically sourced. You don't tend to get that so easily from big, enormous sort of marketplaces and e-commerce sites. The other thing is that when you look at Alibaba and Amazon in the US, a lot of their success is down to their ability to scale, to have fulfillment services all across the country. The distances they cover in terms of going from selling something on an e-site to delivering are vast. But it's one country and therefore scaling is all just about infrastructure and money. Europe is different. Europe is a lot of different countries with borders. With Brexit especially, you've then got customs. And Amazon, the edge Amazon has, these really massive marketplaces have, is not quite as big versus some of the smaller specialist marketplaces or merchants. Because they've got the headache of, if I'm an Amazon and I'm selling stuff with all my international sellers, I need to have a warehouse in the UK to be able to deliver fast in the UK. But also, I need to think internationally because there's going to be customs delays, there's going to be customs surcharges. I need to have fulfillment service centers in all these different countries, you know, a base in Europe and all the rest of it. And every single merchant, every single international e-commerce business has to think about that stuff. And Amazon has no edge other than they've got a lot more money.
So if there's still all to play for the independent e-commerceer, in the wake of Brexit, COVID, and the supply chain crisis, the final question I had for Stephanie is how best can the British e-commerceer compete?
I think the UK thing has caused a lot of headaches for everyone, really. When you're trying to be successful as an e-commerceer, you know, you've got three things. You've got prep and planning, which is having the right stock in the right place and the stock that people want. You've got diversity in your supply chain. So if there's an incident like one of your suppliers going under or a logistics issue with borders closing, you've got other routes to market. And then you've got fulfillment, which is how do you deliver the product that your customers bought in a time frame that is acceptable? And solving those three really hard problems, you can solve them at scale. Either if you've got lots of money to throw at the problem and you don't really care, you know, you've got your margins are enormous, or you've got to be really smart and really clever. And it's easier to be smart and clever when you're dealing with a smaller business than when you're trying to scale like an astronomical scale. You can be much more agile, with smaller businesses.
That's all we have time for on this episode of the E-Commerce Ear podcast. For advice and guidance on funding your e-commerce business to grow to the next level, visit www.woodsfordtradebridge.com ecommercefunding. Join us again shortly for a special bonus episode of the E-commerce Ear podcast, where Stephanie Frakoviak will give us her thoughts on e-commerce in 2022. You can download the E-commerce Ear podcast at iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Once again, our special thanks to Stephanie and the team at TradeBridge. I'm Gareth Martin. Thank you for listening.